It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the Gospel of John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in the fourth chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 46 down through the end of the chapter, verse 54. So please open your Bibles today for this great study. John chapter 4, verse 46. While you're opening your Bibles and looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We don't like to waste any time. The important time is studying the precious Word. And so please, now let's begin with reading John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went in his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, about the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious study. It's such a joy to look to the Word of God and to enjoy it. Oh, please, that every time that we have the opportunity to get together, that we are able to open our Bibles and read the Word. And sometimes we don't get but one or two verses. Sometimes we get through several, Father, but it's such a joy to study your precious Word. So please that you would guide and lead us now and help us to see what it is for each one of us in this section of Scripture. Every verse of Scripture speaks of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and He speaks to us. And so please, that we hear today, we know, dear Lord, that first you must be born again. You must be saved before this can take place. So please today that we know you as our Savior and that we're beginning that wonderful walk and serving you and praising you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, this study, and just guide and lead us and bless us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these verses of Scripture, and we see some things that are really exciting to look at and to see. And we have watched as the steps now, and we went through this last time we were together, but it sure, to me, is worth repeating. I hope that you don't mind. We find that as folks are in contact with the Lord Jesus, Savior of the world, folks get saved. And it's not just given to one class of people. First of all, in chapter 1, we have the fishermen were converted, were saved. In chapter 3, we spent a wonderful time talking about Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews, saved. We find here in the beginning of this fourth chapter, we find a Samaritan woman, which is Samaritan was kind of on the bottom of the social calendar, you might say, or social level. And it doesn't matter, my friend. She got saved. We class sins. and you know this, and it's done this, this, and this, and so they're more wicked, more evil. A sin is a sin. Jesus died for all of our sins, and he's taken it away. So my friend, no matter what you have or have not done, you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And so there's not a sin that can't be, I've committed that unpardonable sin. Unbelief is the unpardonable sin. So if you refuse to trust in Jesus, that's what's going to condemn you to hell. And so I just ask you, I guess you're already condemned if you do not believe, and that's what the Scripture tells us so clearly. So I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. If not, I hope today you come. And now we're coming and we're looking at this nobleman's family, and he has a need, and this man is in the king's court in some manner or another. And we find in the end of this that it's a wonderful day because he is saved as well. And so as we enjoy now the study, we begin, and we have talked a little bit about this. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. Remember the wedding he went to? Probably family was there. Mary, mother, was present and asked Jesus to do something. And so it's pretty well understood that it was family that she was there helping with the wedding. And so we find Jesus returning there, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And so it's not a far distance, but it is a little bit of a distance. And so we find now when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This nobleman was a man that undoubtedly had followed to an extent the ministry, Jesus' ministry. When he heard that he had come back to Canaan, he went to find him. And his son was sick, and we find him sick to what level? Sick unto death, the Scripture tells us. Normally, you know, the father, when a son or, if one of my daughters was sick to that point, one of my grandchildren was sick to that point, or spouse, or so many. As we think of being in that situation, parents possibly, would you leave the bedside and go looking for help? Well, undoubtedly, this nobleman had heard enough good news about Jesus that it was worth going after. Maybe he had exhausted everything else. That seems to be the time when we turn to Jesus and look to him for strength and for salvation, is when we have exhausted everything else. And so we find that this royal person, this nobleman, and that's the definition of nobleman. If you look it up, it means a royal person. And so he has quite a position. So again, we've had fishermen, we've had Nicodemus, we've had the Samaritan woman, and now we have this nobleman. Each one of them is drawn to the Lord Jesus. And Nicodemus was at night. Jesus had needs to go to Samaria because he knew that this woman would be at the well. And so Jesus was found there. You see, every time there is any kind of a need or a looking or a drawing, Jesus will find a means. God will find a means to bring the message of salvation to you. So there is no one in this life ever has lived or ever will live that can say, "I didn't know." Now maybe it wasn't real clear and you didn't understand, but my dear friend, there is evidence in creation that there is a God and there is sin, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. None other. None other. Nobody else. There is many religions out there. But when you get saved and you trust in Jesus, he comes into your heart and he saves you, and then the wonderful life begins. And so we have many different examples here. Jesus, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Realize that you're a teacher, come from God. And so now we find this nobleman, he heard Jesus was coming. He was drawn to him. I hope today that you're drawn to Jesus, and I hope that you trust in him. Through this was the sickness of his son. And again, I'm going to read verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Again, I ask the question, what has this man heard? What has this man witnessed at some other location or time? He thinks that Jesus can come down and heal his son. That sounds like pretty good faith right there, doesn't it? Well, let's see what Jesus says here. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. You see, different than you and me, Jesus can look right into the heart, can look right into the soul, and he can see what you and I can't. And he knew that this man was probably at his end. I mean, he just didn't know where else to turn. And somebody says, well, this Jesus, he's coming down, and I've heard some things that's happened. You know, you ought to go. And, you know, people get sometimes so desperate that it doesn't matter whether it makes sense to you or whether you really believe it. It's just the only option. That's the only thing I know to do. I don't know that this man, this nobleman, was to that point. And again, as we've talked earlier, if God wanted us to have his name, he gave it to us. He doesn't just kind of told us his position. And so, but Jesus looked right in his heart, and he said, except ye see signs and wonders, you will believe not. So, you know, what is this? The nobleman said to him, sir, come down ere my child die. That didn't seem to turn this nobleman aside by Jesus' response. You see, Jesus wants us to trust in him by faith, not because we have seen all the results and the works. You come to Jesus by faith, and you'll see signs and wonders. You'll see works, wonderful, miraculous works that he does. But you see, he did a lot of raising of the dead, healing of the sick, those things to show that he was God. But it still comes down to one thing, and that's faith. You need to have faith. And real faith is things that's not seen. And he says, well, I'm not going to believe if I can't see it. My dear friend, I just ask you that you believe in Jesus. Believe him as your Savior. Believe that he died on the cross of Calvary. Believe that. And you'll know what I'm talking about. Just believe that, please. I just ask you to do that. This man here, he said, sir, come down. Come down, please, because my son dies. Jesus, to him, was the only hope. And you know, my friend, that's true. Whether this man knew it or not, or recognized it or not, that was the only hope. That's the only hope that he had. The only hope that he held was that this man, and that's all, as far as he was concerned, is probably who it was just some man, but he had special powers. He didn't realize he was God. And so Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, what would you do if you were in that situation and you had come to this man named Jesus and you had asked him to come with you? You believed, hoped, more than belief, but hoped that he could heal your son. And so you would come running to him and you would beg him that he would come. And then he gives you these words, go thy way, thy son liveth. Wait a minute. What's this? What is this all about? Because how can this be? But look at the words that follow this. I mean, I'm in the 50th verse. I hope that you have found where I'm reading. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful story. He believed. He believed the words of Jesus. Now, did this bring salvation to this man? He believed he was God. But you see, the important thing is, my friend, that you believe you need a Savior. You believe that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need salvation. Do you believe that? You can believe that there is a God. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But until you're lost, the Scripture says the righteous, they don't need me. Well, they do. They just don't know it. And that's what he's saying there. Here, we need to know that all need salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There's not one individual that has ever lived that does not need Jesus. Starting with Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve, when they were created, they did not need a Savior until they had turned and was disobedient. Then they need a Savior, and God supplied that Savior. He died for them. It was some 4,000 years later, but the promise is true, and it never goes away. And even though now it was 2,000 years ago, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for me, and he took my sins away. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful day to know Jesus and to stand with Jesus. As we look now, and it continues here, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, verse 51, his servants met him. So it was a distance. It was a fair distance. You look on the map, you can see. And told him, saying, thy son liveth. And he inquired, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, my son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Believed that the son was healed? No. Believed that this is the Son of God, Savior of the world. Believed. You see, it's a wonderful promise that we have as we look to the Word of God, as we see the Word of God, as we study the Word of God. You can be the greatest scholar of the Bible that has ever lived and be dead in your trespasses and sins, be lost. You need Jesus. You need to trust in Jesus. So please, I ask that you do that today, that you trust in Jesus today. You walk with Jesus today. And you come by faith. Come by faith. This man walked by faith because he went his way. Jesus said, go, your son lives. And he believed that word. He believed that word. He believed Jesus. And he left, and he met his, going down, his servants met him. You see, this man is in place of high power, a place of position. He has servants. His servants met him. And so he didn't leave his son unattended. I'm sure that he left his son with great help surrounding him, and he just went for more because it wasn't working what they were doing, and he needed something special, and he'd heard about Jesus, so he went looking for him. He'd heard he had come down from Judah down to into Galilee, so he went after him. Come, please, come, come. You have to come and save my son. You have to, please, please save my son. And Jesus says to him, go thy way. Your son lives. And he believed it. He believed it. I hope today that you believe the word of God. I hope that you believe that when Jesus says in his word that he's going to save you, that he's going to keep you, I hope that you know that and believe that. And it continues. And first it was the belief that his son was going to be healed. And then so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. See, it didn't stop with just the healing of the son. Salvation come into the nobleman's heart. He was saved, and his whole household. Was that just his wife and his family, his children, or was it the servants? It's the whole household. We know that there was more than just himself, because it says his whole house. What a wonderful day. Philippian jailer, we have a similar situation where he was saved and took him into the house, and his house was saved. It isn't that the house is saved because the head of the household is saved. In other words, if I'm saved, doesn't mean my family's saved. They have to make a choice. But I'm telling you, father, I'm telling you, husband, you make the decision to trust in Jesus and let God do the rest of the work. Because what happens when our life changes and we turn to Jesus, then so does our household, or at least should be. Every child, every individual, wife, everybody has their own decision to make concerning Jesus. It cannot be done any other way. It has to be done through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts the heart in each and every case. So you see, because Jesus healed the son, that brought salvation to the heart, to the mind, to the soul of this nobleman. He said, "Oh, the power of God. And if he has the power to heal, he has the power to take my sins away, and I believe it." He believed, himself believed, and his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. What wonderful promises we have of the Word of God. And see, once again, so now again, we have several. We've watched, and you know, people today in the churches, they don't seem to preach salvation. They kind of preach this universal salvation. All are saved. That's not true. That's not true. We find these wonderful examples through the Word of God of personal decisions. If there was ever a man that should be saved, it'd been Nicodemus. If there was ever a man saved, it would have been Paul, because Paul was the Hebrew of Hebrews, the Scripture says. Him and Nicodemus would have been just about the same class and the same level, and yet both of them lost as lost can be. Can you see that? Don't let your church or religion, don't let them bring you to a point of believing that that's all there is. Because it is a personal relationship with Jesus, and I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. So please trust in Him today. Beautiful story. I hope that it's more than just a story to you. I hope it's real. I hope by this example that you have come by faith to Jesus and you're saved. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus saith to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately a man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, and the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith to thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus fined him in the temple and said to him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father's work hitherto, and I work. That's quite a story there, and I knew that we would just finish up the nobleman today, and maybe get started in at least the reading of the fifth chapter there. This is quite a message. Feast of the Jews. Now, we find as we study, and I hope that you have, you need to study the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If you would study those books, those five books, you call the books of Moses. And so if you hear somebody say to you that, will you please go back and study the books of Moses, you'll find that that's what that is. There's five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I hope that you have studied those. I hope that you've enjoyed those. If you have studied the book of Leviticus, then the book of Hebrews will make all kinds of sense. I mean, it just becomes so clear. So I hope that you have looked to that. I hope that you've enjoyed the study of Leviticus, because those two are together. The book of Genesis is, of course, the beginning. It is the creation. And if you've wondered, well, you know, is it the Big Bang Theory? Is it evolution? What is no God spoke it into existence in seven literal days? Now, I've summed that up for you, and that's according to the Word of God. I hope that you believe that, because that's exactly what happened. In seven literal days, God spoke into existence this world and this universe. In doing that, we find that the time period of that 7 days, he did actually in 6 days, rest on the seventh, was about 6,000 years ago from today, not billions of years ago, not millions of years ago. All those things are drummed up by the scientists, because that's the only way they can prove evolution, which evolution is a lie. So it's hard to prove a lie, but they have to bring all these other things into it in order to make it come true. And so they just keep working at it. Well, through that period of time, and we're studying in Leviticus, and of course Genesis has the birth of the family of Israel. As we look at that, we see the time, we see what's going on, and the birth of the nation of Israel begins there, and of course that comes all the way through the Old Testament into this area where we're at right now. And so all these things have taken place through the Scripture. Well, you get to Leviticus, then you find the law. And in Leviticus, it will give you these feasts, the Feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool. And so why was Jesus there? Is because by law, he's required to be three of the feasts. Three of the feasts that were given, three of those, you have to be in Jerusalem. You have to travel as a male, a Jew, Jewish male, you have to travel to Jerusalem. And so that's the reason that I back clear up to Genesis there, so you could kind of see what was going on. And if you have never studied those, you don't have any idea about the tabernacle. Oh, the tabernacle is a tremendous, tremendous study, and you'll find that in the book of Exodus. And then it continues all the way through till Solomon's temple is built. David supplies the parts, and Solomon builds it. So you see, all that comes. And I hope that you look to the Word of God. I hope that you study the Word of God. And if you've not studied the books of Moses, I ask you to do that. It is a wonderful study. We have much of that study online. If you want to go to our website and look it up, why, you can sure find it there, and enjoy the study of Genesis and the study of Exodus. You need to do that. I have a short study in the book of Leviticus and that you can also enjoy. So, my dear friend, as we look to these words and we start here, now Jesus in Jerusalem, we'll start this story next time we're together, and we're going to look at the healing of this man. Now, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?